Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's head to the Western Hotline now because my man Ryan Talbot's joining me. First and foremost, Ryan, I know this morning you tweeted about Chadwick Roseman's unfortunate death. Being a movie buff like I know you are, tough day, huh? 2020 is not really getting much better as it seems.
No, without a doubt. And you know, here's a guy that was battling colon cancer for 4 years, and he's shooting movie after movie after movie without really letting on what was going on in his personal life. So. You know, kudos to him for that. But yeah, very sad day. A phenomenal young actor. I mean, 43, way too young to go. But definitely used his time here on this earth wisely and shared that gift with many others.
No doubt about it, Ryan. Let's dig into football. There was a lot to talk about this week. Obviously, the scrimmage going on Thursday. I had an opportunity earlier to speak to Sal about it. But I wanted to get some of your thoughts on the kicking competitions that ended up playing out this week. First and foremost, Steven Hauschka cut this week. Maybe even before we talk about the competition, I don't know if there's something you want to talk a little bit about Steven Hauschka's, you know, I would say shorter-lived career here in Buffalo. I think he came on very, very hot to start his career, and things slowed down. And I think a lot of that gets pointed back to that Henry Anderson hit.
Yeah, without a doubt. The blindside hit that he took right in that Jets game, it seemed to be a downward spiral from there. He was banged up after that point. I know Anderson ended up getting fined by the league. It wasn't flagged on the play. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, from that point on, it seemed like something was just off, especially when it came to those longer kicks. When he came on, he was very good. As the years have gone, though, he's gone through some rough patches last year. I think that Cowboys game was probably the low point of his 2019 season where missed an extra point. I think he had a field goal that he may have missed. He had another one that hit off the uprights and went in, actually. And after that, the Bills actually tried to bring back kicker Chase McLaughlin, but another team ended up claiming him ahead of them. So, you know, he had his ups and downs here, but for the most part, there was a lot more good than bad. But it was definitely time to turn the page and go with Tyler Bass.
You know, and that's going to lead me to Tyler Bass here. Ryan, do you get the feeling that there were just too many factors running against Steven Hauschka? And maybe those factors are age, his salary cap hit this year and next year, and not only the salary cap of him, but what hit freeing up that salary cap might be able to mean for Brandon Bean's attempt to re-sign guys like Matt Milano and Tre'Davious White, who's going to be coming up here rather shortly. So, like, do you believe it was maybe Tyler Bass was that good in camp, or do you believe Tyler Bass was good enough for them to just not be able to overlook the other things?
I just think, really, as long as Bass was neck and neck with Hauschka, even if he was a little bit worse than Hauschka, you could justify the decision for the reasons that you mentioned, the cap space, the fact that you have some players coming up soon where you're going to need that money. But there's also on-the-field issues as well that I think getting rid of Hauschka made a lot of sense. For one, you weren't going to trust him to kick those field goals from 50 yards out. And, you know, Tyler Bass, whether or not he makes those kicks, well, it's yet to be seen, but he has the leg to do so. Touchbacks were an issue where Hauschka isn't going to be able to necessarily kick the ball into the end zone consistently. And even in this scrimmage that took place on Thursday, the wind's really howling, and Bass had no trouble cutting into the wind and kicking one through the end zone, and then one deep enough into the end zone to create a touchback. So you have to consider those factors, where the Bills play, what it's like here in November and December. And think about the field position battle as well. So, you know, you would like to think that with the Bills and this offense that there's only going to be maybe a less than a handful of games. I'm talking maybe two or three that might come down to a field goal at the end of the game. And hopefully Bass can come through in that situation. But this wasn't a situation where you just hold on to Hauschka just because. Now, if you wanted to carry two kickers because of COVID concerns, because of the way the NFL could be this year, totally get it. But there are too many factors working against Hauschka, especially from that salary perspective that you mentioned.
And then how about as for Bohorquez, Ryan? Like, what's your confidence level with him heading into the season? He obviously won the job, but I mentioned this to Stale. I wonder if it's less about him winning the job and the two other guys not really competing at a high enough level to actually push Bohorquez.
I think you said it perfectly right there. I think that the people that they brought in haven't been able to show enough to show the Bills that they could move in another direction. You know, Bohorquez is interesting because he had a lot of kicks inside the 20. He had some really good games, but he's just that punter that has those maddening moments all too often where he shanks the ball or the ball only goes 30-some yards. The net punting average isn't where you want it to be. So it just seems like the Bills are looking. They're just not looking in the right places, and the younger Bohorquez keeps kind of edging out these players that they bring in. So when roster cuts take place across the league, would I be shocked if the Bills signed another punter and replaced Bohorquez? I wouldn't. But right now, they're probably saying, you know, there's not enough out there on the market to really push him at this point in time.
Are you surprised? I know this is kind of a one-off question, but we're talking about punters. We might as well. Are you surprised Marquette King's not in the league? Like, he's posting videos. The guy's healthy. And when he was in the league, he was one of the league's premier punters.
Yeah, I actually thought King was really good in the XFL, too. I thought that he was kind of booming the ball there. I thought he still showed that he had a leg. I know that when he was in his prime, you know, he had some issues in terms of maybe showboating or rubbing some people the wrong way. But I think he's been out of the league long enough where, one, that's not an issue anymore, or wouldn't be an issue anymore. And, two, he can still kick. At the end of the day, you want a punter that can still, you know, help you with the field position, pin a ball down inside the 20, use the sidelines in terms of punting as well. And I think he can still do all of those things at a high level.
Ryan Talbot here on the Western Hotline, writer for New York Upstate. Ryan, before I ask you about Josh Allen, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is obviously Deion Dawkins gets his signing out of the way. The Bills were able to lock him up and get that taken care of. Are you at all surprised, though, that there hasn't been more movement or chatter about Milano's extension or potentially Trey White, who isn't exactly – obviously, out of the two there, Milano is the guy with 1 year remaining on his contract and is the one that's likely going to get signed first. I guess maybe saying, are you surprised that you haven't heard much? Maybe that's not a good question because we didn't hear anything about Deion Dawkins, and then we just found out that he got signed. Same with Sean McDermott. This is an organization that is probably one of the tightest ships organizations in all of football in terms of leaks coming out about potential contract movement. But are you at all surprised that we haven't seen much on Milano yet?
I'm not, for the reasons you just said. They kind of keep things in-house. I think that they tell agents, you know, we'd really prefer if nothing gets leaked out. I think the agents respect that because at the end of the day, you see the deals do get done. Getting Dawkins done first, I thought was a good idea because that left tackle position, that market's just going to keep going up higher and higher. I thought he rebounded really nicely after a tough second season and showed the team what he could do. I think that he's answered a lot of questions off the field, too, in terms of leadership, being the only non-skill player to attend that workout in Florida, being a guy that kind of reaches out to all of his teammates. So he checked a lot of boxes on and off the field. Getting that deal done now, it's going to look smart down the road where those deals for left tackles keep going up and up and up. So to get him at that salary point where they did, I thought was good. Milano is, you know, he did come out and say that he can.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Envision playing anywhere else other than Buffalo. I think that the Bills are probably going to try to find a way to get that deal in, but work it out long-term in terms of, okay, we know we have Trey White. We know we're down the road we have Edmonds. We might have Josh Allen if he proves himself to be that franchise QB. So Brandon Bean, I'm sure, is sitting there and saying, how can I manipulate the cap from a year-to-year basis in terms of, okay, this is where Milano would get the big payday in this year, and how can I work that? So it's not as simple as sitting down saying, I'll give you this much money on average over this much time. I'm sure a lot of thought goes into it. But I think that Milano is so important to this defense, and I know it's a outside linebacker position, and you can make the argument you could find another one in the draft, and you very well could. But from day one, Milano, once he got into the starting lineup, has been a perfect fit for this defense. He's been a great player for this defense, flying under the radar quite a bit in terms of league-wide, but Bills fans know just how important he is to the system. So in time, I think something will get done there.
All right, Ryan, I got an easy one for you here. This is a underhand slow ball pitch, right? Josh Allen, August 2020 versus Josh Allen, 2019. Where do you believe the biggest strides in his game have come in the last calendar year?
Well, intermediate area in terms of what we saw on the field last year, but what we've seen so far in training camp, what we've read, it seems like there has been some successes with the deep ball. We've seen the videos where he's thrown it downfield with Diggs, with Gabriel Davis and other players. Jent Brown's made some plays in camp. So I think that every year he does truly want to work on one aspect of his game, and he shows strides. So in terms of what I want to see this year, I want to see him incorporate that deep ball. Now, mind you, games aren't won and lost on the deep ball. He can kind of hit those intermediate passes and still win you games here in Buffalo. But if he can hit one deep ball every week for that 30, 40 yards, you know, defenses are going to back off a little bit, and that's going to open things up underneath. So things all go hand in hand. Another area where I want to see Allen in this offense improve, though, is the screen game. I thought that last year they were completely underwhelming, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if defenses saw something pre-snap where they just kind of knew, but other than that 49-yarder Singletary in the Washington game, there weren't many other running back screens that went for much of any game. So if you can get the screen game going too, then all of a sudden those simple passes are going to go for big yards, and the whole Josh Allen 300-yard discussion, it becomes a lot easier for him if he can hit those screen passes that go for 20, 25 yards. You know, they couldn't hit those last year for whatever reason, so I know the intermediate stuff was great last year. I hope he can pick up from that, but let's see some deep balls get completed with the talent that they have on this roster, but also utilize the screen game. I liked what I saw in the video that the Bills shared yesterday, where they had both backs on the field, it looked like, for that play. Because then defenses aren't going to know exactly where it's going to if it is a screen play, and you can kind of work that to your advantage.
You know, one of my theories about the screen game, Ryan, was because of the effectiveness that Josh Allen has running the football, I always got the sense that the way defenses defended that skill set probably caused a lot of the issues that they had trying to throw the screen, with those defensive ends staying at home being, you know, having that fear that Josh Allen was going to beat him around their face and then potentially have the ability to make a big play with his feet. Do you get that same sense? And to your point, I think if you can try to disguise those plays a little bit more, maybe that's how you create that success in the screen game.
Well, you know, now you bring it up and mention it like that, I think it makes a lot of sense because you're right. You go back, you try to draw the players in, and then you let it go. And for whatever reason, those players weren't biting on it. So maybe that was the reason because he is so lethal with his feet. So, yeah, I don't want to say element of surprise, but if you can mask that a little bit better, I think you're going to have a much greater success on the field this year.
I think so, too. And that kind of leads me to the Zach Moss conversation, which he's been a hot topic amongst, like, the fantasy community. I think maybe rightfully so. This team, I think a lot of those people probably watched how much this team last year, and Brian Daboll in particular, used Frank Gore. And I think if you were just to place or replace Frank Gore's touches last season with Zach Moss, I think you're looking at an offense that could potentially see big ups this year in the run game and big play category. From what you've seen of Zach Moss, and maybe you can date back a little bit to this scrimmage on Thursday, like, what are you expecting from Zach Moss? He looked to have a very good scrimmage.
Yeah, from all accounts, he's a lot further ahead than where a lot of people thought he would be at this point, considering the way the offseason has been. He seems to be doing a fine job in blitz pickup, which I think would be one of the biggest areas where you keep a rookie outfield if they don't know what to do or know how to pick up blitz assignments. That can lead to disaster, so he seems to be doing well there. But then he's also running the ball well. Had the play of the scrimmage, Matt Perino at the site mentioned that he completely ran over Dean Marlowe, just kind of bulldozed him over. He did mention Moss, that is, after he was drafted, he wanted to make defenders make business decisions. Well, he's doing the same thing already at scrimmages with his own teammates. So he seems to be true in his word there. And then in terms of being a pass catcher, he can do that as well. So he's a well-rounded back, and I think he can make a much bigger impact than maybe some people thought. Early on, I wouldn't be shocked if the Bills use him in those short yardage, the red zone areas, close to the end zone to see what you can do, because they gave Frank Gore a lot of opportunities in those situations last year, and he often came up short, and then after that is when Josh Allen would take off and run with the ball and either pick up the first down or get those touchdowns near the goal line. So it's not like they were giving touches to just Josh Allen. They were giving their backs, specifically Frank Gore, opportunities last year, and Gore wasn't able to convert them. I think Moss absolutely can do so with the offensive line in front of him and just his natural ability.
Ryan Talbot here on the Wester Hotline. Ryan writes for New York Upstate. Ryan, before I let you go, I kind of wanted to get not necessarily predictions, but I'm wondering, I don't want to speak for you, but I do feel like you'd probably agree with me that the offense is looking like they're primed for a breakout season. I mean, just the added weapons, another year of Josh Allen, another year under the Brian Daboll system. We talked about the additions to the run game as well. Like, where do you think, though, your point of concern is? Like, what do you think could potentially lead to a letdown this season from the offense? And maybe you have one trouble area or area of concern you're thinking of here.
Well, I think if the offense fails, you have to wonder, is it Josh Allen or is it Brian Daboll? I mean, those are the two guys it comes down to. You have the weapons in the wide receiver game with Stephon Diggs, with John Brown, Cole Beasley, and even Gabriel Davis. And I know it sounds funny to throw a rookie into that mix, but he's been that impressive with the Bills, where I think he could actually be a factor in four wide receiver sets, something they didn't run much of last year. I want to say maybe less than 10 snaps with four wide receivers on the field, but I think you could actually do that with the personnel this year. You do have a good 1-2 punch, a young 1-2 punch at running back. The offensive line, for the most part, has returned. Obviously, John Feliciano's injury has opened up some competition on that right side of the line and who's going to win, and does that mean Cody Ford plays inside or outside? So there's some questions there. But at the end of the day, if this offense falls flat on its face, it's going to come down to either Josh Allen regressed or didn't take that next step in his development, or Brian Daboll's play calling didn't help this team in some way, shape, or form. So you don't want to say anyone's on the hot seat necessarily, because they're coming off of a 10-win year. They look to be the favorites. But if they don't win this division and they don't have I would even say if they don't win a playoff game, then I would consider this season a failure for this team. So, at the end of the day, if the offense struggles, it's going to either be Allen or Dable's fall, in my opinion.
Ryan, last thing before I let you go here, too. Week one, New York Jets. I asked the same question to Sale, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Rich Cimini, ESPN Jets Nation reporter for ESPN this week, had a couple of back and forths during the it was during a media session with Adam Gase, and then kind of clapped back afterwards because the scrimmage was just so poor. It looked like from the media account that the backups beat the Jets starters 27-0, which is an eye-opener, to say the least. I think that's a nice way of putting it. What do you expect of that Jets team when they walk in and stroll in here on week one? Like, is that a team that could be the beginning of the end, almost like it was last year, week one, where the Jets never recovered after losing that football game?
I could absolutely see that. I think that Adam Gase could get replaced very quickly this season. If they get off to a slow start, which isn't that out of the realm of possibility based on their schedule. But, yeah, I mean, they lost 27-0 to their backups with obviously the first team playing the second team. Three turnovers on the six drives for Darnold in the offense. They said just today that Darnold didn't have a good practice, completed about 50% of his passes. And, you know, it's not all on Darnold. He's throwing to guys, new players left and right because of injuries. Even now this Jeff Smith, who's been working with the ones, is injured. And they're signing Dante Moncrief, I believe I read today. You have Chris Hogan working in there with the ones. So they're very banged up at the wide receiver position. But, you know, the Bills should be – this is a game that if the Bills are for real, they should be able to handle this Jets team. And I'm not just talking rely on the defense and eke out a win. I want to see a double-digit win in week one to say, okay, this Bills team, they might be legit. Put away teams that you should put away and put them away convincingly. Let's not have those 17-point comebacks like we saw last year in week one. Put them away by 17 points plus. Early on, you know, make sure that this game is out of control by the third quarter, in my opinion. Anything less than that, even though it's week one, and I'm sure that the Jets will have some, will throw the kitchen sink, so to speak. There's always some gadget plays. I'm sure that Greg Williams will throw the kitchen sink at Josh Allen. But this is a game the Bills absolutely should win based on the talent, based on what each team is bringing back and how they've looked so far in training camp.
Awesome, Ryan. Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for hopping on with me, and looking forward to your work before the start of the season here, and obviously as we head into the season, man. Thanks. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.